Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Chiefs Kingdom, you gotta fight for your right.
And now, from the IMLD home studios, in its 11th season, you are listening to, in much less detail, the podcast, where we cut through the noise and give you your NFL breakdown in much less detail. Now your hosts, Jay and Bray.
Well, when I put Taylor Swift's boyfriend in the opening of the show at the beginning of the season, I had absolutely no idea how things would turn out. He wasn't Taylor Swift's boyfriend at the time, of course, but I was just celebrating him and his team getting me the victory to end last year, and Jay turns it around and turns the tables on me and uses him and his team to get the victory this year. So for all of Chiefs Nation, for Swelsey, for Jay, everybody take a bow. The Kansas City Chiefs once again world champions of football, and this time turning the tables on me and allowing Jay to break my 8-year streak of winning our handicapping competition. This is In Much Less Detail, the podcast, our last episode for the 2023-2024 season. You are here with us live on a Thursday night, February the 15th, 2024. I'm Dre, he's Jay, he's the victor, he's the man. He told us all several weeks ago that he was trying to end this Travis Taylor shit right now and picking the Chiefs to win it all, trying to make the big ending scene of them kissing on the field at the end of the Super Bowl, trying to make that not happen. He said he'd be happy either way, so there you go. It happened, you had to throw up, but at least you won the season.
I will take it. It's been a long time coming to be on the right side, and it keeps our streak alive of being the person who had to pick the winner, picking the winner, you know, so getting the control back during the division round and hanging on to it all the way through the end here. I ain't giving it back. Jameson Williams, you're still the man. Jameson Williams is going to be right there. Might have himself a seat in the Hall of Infamy someday.
Nathy Perez.
Yeah. But, you know, judging by the way, I can't really tell, so I have to ask, did you really want the Niners, or did you just jack yourself up to getting behind the Niners because you pretty much had 2 weeks to prepare for me to take the Chiefs?
You know what? That's one of those questions that I can never honestly answer. I can't answer that to myself. It's not that I'm trying to be secretive or keep it from you. It's that the pool was poisoned by you telling me that. So therefore, I may have had the Niners anyway. But look, I appreciate and like and almost love the Niners and what they do. Again,
yeah, I know.
This is my team as far as hipster Dre. This is the team that I was on several years ago talking about, hey, don't look now, but this team leads everybody in yards per play, and no one's talking about them, and look out for the 49ers. So I feel a kinship to them the way you feel to the Buffalo Bills. I may well have said that it's Kyle Shanahan's time to put all the demons behind him and exercise everything and win the championship this year anyway. However, I have to admit, it's possible I may have taken the Chiefs if I had my choice because
right.
They're the damn Chiefs and they're just inevitable.
Right, and it is a different feeling, obviously, having the 2 weeks to have to wait for the other person to make the pick, and that's been, you know, not a position that you've been in for a while. So, and unlike in years past where I had to stew, I pretty much told you what I told you pre-AFC championship, like, when we pick those games, like, you better get the lead otherwise this. If this, then that. And I told you, this is what I'm going to do. And I stood behind it, and it was close. I sweated it out just like you did, because that game had the ebbs and the flows where you thought you were good, and then for a while, you know, looked bad for you. It really did have that back and forth, and our season, which I think our regular season was only, what, four games apart?
I believe so.
Which is crazy. And then when you factor in the playoffs, that means for all the games, we only finished two games different for the entire season, which is just shows you how close it was. We both guaranteed ourselves over 500, both of us. I hit 500.
We're only three games apart for the regular season.
Three games apart. So I beat you by two in the playoffs. So you ended up winning the season. You get the points championship.
Oh, thank you. So
by
proud.
One game. But that's how close for all these games, 280-some-odd games. And you and I were only different by one, but by virtue of our, you know, the playoff format and the points and the stakes, I end up taking the season. But it just really shows you how close it really was. Nobody ran away with it this year.
And if not for Jameson Williams' fingertips, then I would have taken it. Oh.
Possibly, because we will never know with 2 weeks to actually break it down and look at the, you know, you didn't have to do the research that you would normally, and that all might have still led you to take the Niners, because you were very convincing in your anti-argument to my Chiefs pick that you really wanted the Niners, but we'll never know, obviously, because it's always easy in hindsight. That's why I had to ask. I was like, is that really what you wanted? Or, you know, did you just jack yourself up into that pick? And even you don't know.
Believe me, I was asking that all 2 weeks myself. I was asking myself that question. Was I really on the Niners, or was I just doing that because I knew Jay had the Chiefs?
Which was so funny, because what if I would have just, like, completely railroaded and taken the Niners? And you'd have been like,
I got all this material wrote up to slam the Chiefs and put over the Niners. I gotta somehow fix it the other way. No, I definitely was believing what I was saying on the Super Bowl preview show. But your question is valid. Would I have felt a different way leading up to the preview show if I knew you were taking the Niners and I had to take the Chiefs or something like that? So.
Or if you had the lead.
Right, and it was all on me.
Which you were Jameson Williams fingertips away from having. So I don't want to rub it in too much on that. But it was it's a great year. I'm proud of the fact that I dug myself out of a huge hole that I dug myself into to start the season. You had the numbers, but, you know, from something like week 7 or week 9 on, where I did not have a week below 500, which blew me away when you told me
20 games
that.
Below after week 7.
Yeah, so after 7 weeks, and to win. So we both have had big comebacks on each other, memorably on this show, and I'll chalk it up as a hard-fought victory, well played by both of us. Somebody had to win, although we could have, you know, we've had tied seasons, I mean, back in the first season.
Yeah.
It's possible. It is possible to have a tie. But I'll take it. I'm not giving it back. It feels good to have won. I'm excited that I don't have to be thinking about, wow, is Dre going to, you know, do this for a decade before I win?
That's right.
So now I have to start a streak.
Yeah. I tried to do it for a solid decade, but couldn't quite pull it off.
You tried.
No, you.
And we talked. What's that?
You pulled the Chiefs. You were down big and just rallied back. You had me right where you wanted me, just like the Chiefs.
Yeah. I felt like texting you that, too, in that game at some point. It's like, I was right where they want them. Right where they want them.
You knew. We all knew. We all knew. We're texting during the game about the Niners should be up a lot right now.
I don't have an award for that, but I was getting that sense at the end of the first quarter into the early second quarter. And that's why I shot you that text, because I was like, man, this feels like Niners should be just romping, and it was 10-0.
Yeah.
Like that's nothing for the Chiefs. That's nothing in football in general these days.
I could have ruined your victory by betting the Chiefs live because I knew. I had that feeling you're going to win this game. I didn't do it. I couldn't pull the trigger. I just let it play out. But I knew the whole time. I knew.
They let them hang around and hang around. But we have awards just like we do for the whole regular season and through the playoffs. We do the same football party. It's our last football party of this season. I won't say of 2024 because we get to do this again starting in September. But of this football season, this will be our last football party. And then we become kings of non sequitur. I was already scouring the webs before the show for music. take my win seriously here. I haven't been able to pick the podcast music for a long time, so I was starting my search.
It's the only thing we have on the line for the season.
And bragging rights.
Right. But the winner does indeed get to choose the theme music for it next season. You don't have to choose a new one. You can stick with mine, but you're already looking for your own.
It's been a long time, so I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to changing it up and having a new intro for next football season. I probably won't change it through the Kings of Non Sequitur portion here, but it gives me some time. And then now that I know enough, what I know about editing, working on my son's videos, I'm like, oh, okay, I can actually edit together something. So I might actually put together a piece to intro the show, and we'll see how that goes through the summer here.
All right. So while Jake is ready to use his creativity in the offseason, we do indeed have awards. So you said you were – the only thing you wanted was to be able to go first on the Super Bowl recap show. Because
well,
that means you actually won the pick.
Because I – that's right.
So therefore
– Yep.
Strike to claim it. A strike to claim it. And he got it!
Think the Chiefs are, they are. So you get the honor. So what in the world to you was the best of the entire Super Bowl experience?
Since we have more detailed breakdown awards as we progress through here, I'm going to give this an overriding award and just say it was a great game. It wasn't the best played game, it was, technically speaking, but I appreciated the drama, the tension, defense. There's a lot of people who saw that game early. We were watching the game with a large group of people, and there were those people, oh, it's boring. No, that was not boring. That was football. That was hard hitting. There were just, it was like we talked about in the beginning of the intro of the show here, it's the ebb and flow of the game, looking like the Niners had it. Oh, now the Chiefs have it. Now the Niners are coming back. Oh, no, big mistakes, back and forth and into overtime. And I'm just giving my best of the week to the whole spectacle of that game, 60 minutes. It was great, great football. It was well coached mostly. The refs were not a big factor in the game. Thank God we are not here talking about ref shenanigans, although there's a vocal minority of people out there in the socials who want to try to make everything into it wasn't even about the penalties. It was about the non-penalties. Like, well, simmer down, people. It was a great game. Both teams had their chances. The Niners had plenty of their own. They did not capitalize and come through with the victory. The Chiefs just waited and waited and waited and waited. And then they got that final drive. And what a great game. Defensive, low scoring as far as I'm concerned for what Super Bowls we've seen. Lately 25-22, and we needed overtime, so we needed those 9 extra points in overtime after what was only a 19-19 finish, which you would have thought, it's easy to look at that and say it's boring, but I thought it was great football. My best of the week was just the whole spectacle of that game, well played by both teams. We get a lot of dud Super Bowls, and this one wasn't one.
Definitely wasn't boring. Didn't it go exactly the way we said on the preview show that it was going to be? We all had the under, all three of us, me, you, and Naj had the under, and we came through by a half a point, so that worked
out.
But but just even the style of the game, we all said it was going to go this way. It was going to be slow building and a sort of a taffy pull, and it was going to be very good football. It might not be the most exciting television show of all time, but it was going to be extremely interesting and compelling football for actual football fans. And for non-football fans, it probably wasn't going to be so high. That's exactly what it was. So I don't think it was any different than what any of us anticipated.
What was your best of the week? I got a feeling, but I want to hear it.
The only other quarterback to lead his team in passing and rushing in a Super Bowl is Steve Young.
Yeah.
Unfreaking believable. This guy, that son of a bitch, he just refused to lose that game. I am 100% dead-ass sure that if Jake Moody didn't have that extra point blocked and KC needed 4 instead of 3 in regulation, he would have got it. That's the only reason Pat Mahomes didn't get the touchdown in regulation. Because he didn't need it, because they only needed the 3. He would have got it if they needed it. I promise you he would have. He's getting to that Jordan level to me, where I feel like ultimately, no matter what the adversity, he's going to win. He's just going to win. Underdog for 3 straight games, and he put the middle finger up all 3 times and said, underdog this. Call me a dick rider. I don't care. Patrick Mahomes, that bastard, won a Super Bowl with Mecole Hardman as the game-winning target. That guy is simply the best, period. Man, he's just I'm watching the whole thing go down. I knew it was going to be the Chiefs. I knew they were going to pull it out. And then in overtime, the Niners go all the way down the field on that.
Yeah.
We'll have all the talk about the decision in overtime, but they get all the way to the fucking 9-yard line. And only because Chris Jones, with timely pressure once again to mess up a pass to force an incompletion, to force San Fran to take the field goal. And then Pat just does Pat things all the way down the field, all the way into the end zone, finds Mecole for the win. Steve Wilks tried everything. He tried playing soft. He tried blitzing. He tried mixing it up. He tried press. He tried zone. Nothing worked. Absolutely nothing worked. And your least valuable players of the regular season are world champs. And it's all because of that fucker at quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. He's the best.
And you said it. Put them all in the Hall of Fame right now. Andy Reid,
Kelsey, Pat
Mahomes,
Pat, all of them.
Travis Kelce, anybody else who's even questionable on that squad, just throw them all in. There'd be like the 85 Bears. I mean, Steve McMichael got in. He's dead.
The corpse of Steve McMichael got voted into the Hall of Fame. Right.
Yeah. So that's an easy one. So I appreciate you going there. You kind of telegraphed that on the write-up for the show. So it did not influence my award at all. I kind of knew where you were going, and you gave him the flowers, and yeah, you know, he deserves it. He deserves it. You know, the numbers didn't show it till late. He definitely accumulated, but he got there. 333 yards, 2 touchdowns, an ugly pick early when he was getting frustrated, when it felt like the Niners were completely – well, they were. They were completely in control of that game. They were clearly getting to – Mahomes, they were rattling the Chiefs, but let them hang around.
Should have been up 3 touchdowns.
You cannot let that team hang around. That was the worst thing they could have done. And then the Chiefs got that confidence, and they adjusted. And it's, you can't give these guys that many chances, and they'll take advantage. And Pat Mahomes, and then they all did. Andy Reid, everybody, they adjusted, and they won. So, I mean, I'm glad they did.
Should have been up 3 touchdowns, and still might have lost the fucking game if they were up.
Still might have, yeah.
What was the worst of the Super Bowl to you?
Ah, boy. I'm going to put a bow on this season because we had something happen at the very, very beginning of this season. Happened a few times throughout the season. And then it happens again in the Super Bowl. And talk about impacting a game, impacting a season for when it happened at the beginning of the year. I'm talking about ruptured Achilles tendon and Dre Greenlaw, who's just so jacked up to go run out on the field after a Niners punt. He's going to go out there and get him because they were really in control of that game. Takes a couple of hop steps out on just bam, like he got snipered. Mm. That must have been, Brock Oswald out there sniping poor Dre Greenlaw. That's not the worst thing. The worst thing is Dre Greenlaw's replacement comes in, Oren Burks, and you and something changed in that Niners defense, and the middle opened up, and everybody could kind of see that they were figuring this out. Kelce starts getting more involved. It was really strange until you actually saw the numbers. And boy, when I saw the numbers for Oren Burks, Dre Greenlaw's replacement in coverage, it really opened up for me that this was the worst of the week. This was least valuable player territory here for Oren Burks. Get your bag ready.
Uh-oh.
Targeted 9 times in coverage, Oren Burks was. He gave up 9 completions. A touchdown, 134.7 passing rating against him, and a 32.1 PFF coverage grade for Oren Burks. So yeah, you want to talk about where the game may have been lost? It may have been lost in Dre Greenlaw's hop, step, and skip, and bam, down on the field. That may have been where the game was lost, because after he went down, boy, Travis Kelce, who had been frustrated, and he runs into Andy Reid, almost knocks him over because he's so mad. Everybody was in their head. Mahomes was throwing picks, and boy, you talk about losing the heart and soul of that middle of that defense. They already lost Hufanga early, who was the other sort of heart and soul of that defense on the back end. Nobody talked about him not being there through this run. But that was a huge loss. And then they lose Greenlaw, their biggest impact middle defender, and everything changed for the Chiefs after that. And his replacement was ass. So I'm giving my worst of the week to Oren Burks.
Those numbers were absolutely atrocious. Yeah, 32 is about – that sounds like my science scores in school. Like,
yeah.
That's not just failing. That's like not even – trying to come close to succeeding. That's just as bad as it gets. So
9 of 9 against you. That's James Bradbury bad.
Toast. I concur.
Oh.
To me, nothing was worse than watching a guy sacrifice everything to get to the Super Bowl and wind up taking himself out by running onto the field. I mean, it's just.
Yep.
You know, pops his Achilles early second quarter. Camera caught a clear view of the telltale calf tremble that we got familiar with at the beginning of the season when Aaron Rodgers did it.
Aaron Rodgers, yep.
Sideline reporter, by the way.
Was he questionable to return?
Don't know the guy's name, don't care, doesn't matter. He actually said, go back and find the part where this happens. He actually said, quote, he can't put any weight on his leg. His return is questionable.
Oh, my God.
Wow. He did it. He said it.
See, this is what happens when I'm at a football party,
yeah.
A real football party, an actual football party, and in person I've got all these people, and I didn't catch that one. Otherwise, that I may have had an award for, because that is moronic.
He actually said, as much as we make fun of that shit, and they still do it, it's terrible. Yeah. Poor guy. Just made me sick to my stomach seeing that. Speaking of sick to our stomach, Lou in Jersey, what's going on, Lou?
Hey, fellas. I forgot you were even on tonight, but I made it.
Yeah, we're usually not on a Thursday night. It's an unusual night for us, but we're just putting a bow on the season.
Yeah, of course. And what a way for the season to go out. You know, with one of the best Super Bowls probably that's been playing quite some time. You know, I mean, it didn't start out so well, though. I mean, it was kind of like a defensive struggle. You know, nobody was really doing much until, like, towards the second quarter. And, you know, only finishing up 3-0 in the first. I thought it was like a low-scoring, you know, struggle. No one's going to score on offense or nothing. I thought it was a low-scoring game, just like the Patriots did back in, 2018, 2019, 13-3. I was hoping we would not see a repeat of that. But as the game wore on, the offense has picked up, and it turned to be, you know, one of the most thrilling games, I think, in Super Bowl history.
That was a great game.
Tremendous finish.
Yeah.
Do you have an opinion about, like, what was the best part about the Super Bowl to you?
Well, I was concentrating on the game itself, so you're thinking about the commercial stuff and the halftime show? No. I mean, the third – from the fourth quarter on, I think was the best. Actually, when Well, and San Francisco was about to tie it up at the end of regulation, and then Kansas City with the overtime winning score. But I'll tell you what was the most ridiculous moment of the game, when San Francisco forgot about the rules about the overtime. I'm like, wait, what was that rules again? I forgot. It was explained when the coin was being tossed, and you forgot already? Boy, how dumb can you be? How dumb do you think I am? Jeez.
That wasn't explained very clearly by the refs. They were kind of stumbling and spitting through it themselves. So it was unclear to me watching at home.
Yeah, well, as a player, I mean, I think you should know the rules. You know, that's probably why you lost the game too, because you forgot how the rules were being done. But then again, it did seem to be confusing. Yes, because somebody had to complain. Oh, we didn't get the ball in overtime, so we lost. So then they had to change the rule, and they had to change the rule again to make it even more complicated. You should have kept it right where it is. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
That I agree with.
Well, you know, though, under the old overtime rule, we still have the same result. So the Niners, they took the ball. They did not score the touchdown, where that's where they would have thought they would have won. That there's even audio of this. So, but they kicked the field goal. So the Chiefs were going to get the ball anyway.
Right. It really didn't change the outcome, as it turned out.
Correct. May have changed which team goes first. Maybe that becomes a thing going forward, although we don't get that many overtime Super Bowls. But
no,
maybe in the playoffs and these, you know, we get these where you can get both teams. Hey, even if you score a touchdown, you get to get the chance to go back the other way. And and the Chiefs, I can't even say they took advantage, because the Chiefs could have easily been stopped. The Niners could have played defense. They had that right too.
Yeah.
It would have been nice.
Yeah.
It would have been.
Yeah.
It wasn't, but it would have been.
So was that the worst of the Super Bowl to you, or was it the commercials or the halftime or something like that?
The commercials were boring.
Yeah. Yeah, the commercials are not very good.
No. And they spoil all the commercials now. So they have trailers for the commercials. It's so dumb.
You saw that too? Yeah. I saw that last week.
Yeah, they've been doing that for a couple of years now.
Then
there's extended versions of the commercials that you can watch. It's ridiculous. So instead of just having it be a surprise, they ruin it almost before the game. And I wasn't watching it for the commercials anyways. I was watching it for the football game.
Yeah, and how much did they spend on commercials again?
$7 million.
Yeah. Exactly. When it was done in 1967, it wasn't even... It was on, I think, $1 million?
I don't know if it was even that much. The tickets back then were like $4, so I don't know.
Yeah, all nosebleed seats, too.
All right, Lou, it's been a crazy season, but, of course, inevitably the Chiefs wind up winning, and it felt like that was the outcome all along, right?
Well, you know, I was debating all week long who was going to win, because this was at two, I think, very even teams going in. And to be honest, I was not surprised the game went in overtime anyway. I was not surprised.
Yeah, we all thought it was going to be close. We all said it was going to be a one-score game.
Yeah.
So in that respect, we were all right.
Yeah, but I wasn't that low. But, you know, it wasn't like the, you know, 45-40 I thought it was going to be a high-scoring offensive game. But for the most part, it went almost as I thought it was going to go.
Yeah. Well, it winds up being a compelling TV anyway, so that's good. It was definitely a big dramatic television show in the end.
Yeah, the most watched ever.
Absolutely.
120 million watching at home, and count streaming, you know, is that true? And of course, well, they don't count people who watch outside the home, so the number was probably even greater than that.
It was a large percentage of the country watching, like a third of the country watching.
Yeah, I mean, because like I said, streaming, that was about 3 million. At home alone was 120 million. And, you know, when you count restaurants and bars, that's probably about another 5, 10 million. So, you know, but people don't really count that much.
They got enough. They believe me, they got enough viewers.
Exactly. The most ever of any television program, period.
So maybe your Jets will be there next year to be at the head of the proceedings.
But when you had that matchup you were looking for, that you were anticipating, naturally you're going to get that kind of audience because you got exactly what they want.
That's right.
So when you factor that in, yeah, sure.
You want to plug your show?
Yeah. It's not rocket science, people. The Enhanced Sports Show, even though it's not rocket science. We're on Saturdays, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 to 5 in the Central Time Zone. The number is 512-543-4662. Once again, it's 512-543-4662. We'll have a complete wrap-up of the Super Bowl on Sunday. That includes commercials and the halftime show, for those who care. We'll take a look at the NBA All-Star Game. We'll also take a look at NASCAR because Daytona 500 will be on Sunday, so I'm going to get people's thoughts on that. So you race car enthusiasts might want to call in. We'll also take a look at the being that spring training is now begun. We'll look at each division for the upcoming season, find out who you think is going to be hot and who you think is, well, not. We'll also do college basketball, especially in the women's department because history was maintained as expected, and I didn't get to see it because I can't get Peacock. Thank you very much, you dirty no good. You get the idea. Yeah, of course. And NHL and WWE and UFC and maybe even some Greco-Wrestling. And, of course, the feel-good story of the week, sports trivia, this week in sports history, and ridiculous time of the week as well. So if you got time, call 512-543-4662, 4 in the East, 3 Central, and 10 o'clock in Europe.
There you have it. Thanks, Lou.
All right.
All right. Yeah, we go all over the place.
All right. The one and only Lou in Jersey.
I don't know. At least he was sober tonight. Pretty hard tonight. I'm just trying to figure out what is Greco-Wrestle-Romaning.
He was kind of sober tonight, almost. That was close.
I'm trying to catch up.
He slurred a lot more than that in previous shows, so he did pretty good for himself.
All right.
Naj in Atlanta. Hey, you called it right along with us. We said it was going to be low scoring, and we were right on that.
Yeah, the unders were beautiful, baby. Unders everywhere. I loved it. that part was good. My prediction was wrong. Really disappointed in the old Kyle Shanahan. But, really good game, legacy type of event for Mahomes to pull it out in the end. But, man, that injury to Greenlaw, punt that hit the guy's foot, man, it was so unlucky in the game overall.
Yeah, there was a whole comedy of errors that you can go back and point to for the Niners that helped them lose the game. But, the Chiefs still had to take it. And they did, and they, the other team kind of put it on the silver platter for them a few times there. But the good teams, they run with it, and the Chiefs did. So can't take it away from them.
Yeah. Well, the thing that stuck out to me the most, though, was this idea that, okay, we're just going to run a gang of cover zero, a gang of cover one, man-to-man on the outside, and dare Brock to make plays. And
Yes. Those
corners for KC held up really well. But I couldn't understand how Kyle didn't have better quick game stuff, better blitz beaters, out there. But, I don't know. It was an amazing game, and sadly football is over. So
yeah. The
best tickets in sports now are Wembanyama and Caitlin Clark. Those are the two best tickets in sports now. We're going to have to kind of settle in with that stuff. But, man, dude, I just did not see the Super Bowl ending in that fashion. When Kyle and company, 49ers are driving in the fourth quarter. How did they not understand that was the game? Like, that was the time to go for it on fourth, do whatever you had to do, but milk that clock and make it the last possession of the game if you could. That's I don't know, man. I'm in Atlanta, so I'm not surprised at Kyle messing up in a big game. Come on.
Oh, man.
Oh. Hey, I'm a Falcons fan, so I know all about it.
I think they did the best they could, Naj. I think they were right there at the end, and I'm sure if they could have put it in the end zone and put the game away, they would, but they just couldn't. They did all they could. I don't. There's a lot of criticism of the play calling and of the strategies and stuff, and I'm not really on that train. I think they really Pat Mahomes is inevitable, man. I think that's all it is. If the Niners got the touchdown or milked the clock and gave Mahomes, you know, 15 or 20 seconds instead of a minute,
all it needs.
He would have still beat him because that's what he does. It kind of didn't matter. But I think they did all they could.
Take as many edges as you can get, man. Milk that thing like it's the 80s. Like, you're snapping at 1 and 0. Like, I wanted to see the old slowdown tradition from him. So, I agree with what you're saying, though. Pat Mahomes is the Michael Jordan of the sport. He's going to do some amazing things going forward. Because guess what, guys? He probably gets receivers next year. They're not showing up with that band of guys again. So,
why not?
Yeah, this doesn't get me easier.
Why not? You win a freaking Super Bowl with Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Mecole Harmon. Yeah, why not keep those guys around? Come on. All right. I'll put you back on hold, Nas. Thanks a lot.
All right, man. Have a good one.
All right. Oh, my goodness.
Nice of, you know what? Everybody's showing up for the Super Bowl recap. I appreciate that.
I love our listeners. We don't have many, but they're loyal and they're knowledgeable, and I'm very glad that they sucked the time out of recapping this terrible loss that I took, because that means I don't have to talk about it as much.
It's okay. The after show will still find you here if it ends up going. So what do we at Smartest of the Week? We're only on our third award here. Boy, I tell you what, I'm giving this to Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and what I can only call a masterpiece, which was that final drive in overtime to beat that. You just, like you said, it was inevitable, and you knew, but it was the way they did it. 13 plays, 75 yards, used up the entire remaining time in overtime, threw the winning touchdown with 3 seconds left. They dinked, they doinked, they ran screens, which they had not been running, to try to mitigate that Niners rush. Taking a lot of chances. There was a 4th-and-1 in there where I'm sitting there with the people, we're watching the game, and I look over at the guy who's sitting next to me. I'm like, nobody but Patrick Mahomes is touching the ball on the play. And then it was just Mahomes and, you know, goes right offside, right off tackle there for like 8 yards. And the guy's like, hey, good call. I was like, yeah, they're not trusting anybody else on 4th-and-6 inches. Other than Patrick Mahomes. He refused to lose, but Andy Reid called it up. Mahomes ran it perfect. They had all the motion, all the weird geometry. They even did the weird geometry on the game-winning touchdown. They didn't have the horses to run all the trick stuff. Like you pointed out accurately to me in a text early when the Niners ran the throwback for the touchdown. But, man, the Chiefs just clamped down, and you just felt like, man, it was so hard. I couldn't imagine being a Niners fan. Just watching that drive. Yeah. I took it as a Falcons fan, watching that Patriots drive against us in overtime in the Super Bowl. It's like, you just know, like, you cannot stop what's coming, and the Niners couldn't, but that drive was an absolute masterpiece.
I concur.
We don't need all the time if we just agree on everything. This one's easy to agree on, so.
Correct. We'll probably concur on several others later on. The game-winning play that jet sweep pivot back where you came from, Kadarius Toney in the Super Bowl last year, touchdown.
Yep.
Sky Moore in the Super Bowl last year, touchdown. Mecole fucking Hardman this year for the win, touchdown. Seriously.
That was Julian Edelman when it was the Patriots, right, doing that same route. I'm not kidding.
No, yeah, that arrow route.
Yeah.
Play was called Corn Dog last year. They called it Tom and Jerry this year, but it's the same play.
So now, according to Andy Reid on the touchdown, that was supposed to be a shovel pass to Jerick McKinnon that the Niners closed up so well right at the snap that arrow route became the second look, and it was wide open. So there's Andy Reid breaking it down in the weird geometry that you like to talk about. Yeah, they weren't going to be denied.
Obviously, the way Hartman broke in and then scurried back at the snap, that did look like a Tom and Jerry cartoon, right? Just kind of legs flying everywhere. And poor Niners had no chance. Absolutely no chance.
No, their chances were they needed touchdowns, and instead they kicked field goals. And that was all she wrote.
So there's plenty of choices for dumbest for the Super Bowl. Where are you going on that one?
I'm going to go two ways, but the same person here. How do you not know the overtime? No! You know, and then knowing now what you know, why would you ever take the ball in overtime? First, you really want – it's almost like when you defer – you want to see what the other team does. Put the pressure on them. And also from a dumbest of the week standpoint, I know you are the hipster Dre when it comes to the Niners, but your boy Shanahan needs an intervention. because he's starting to get that, you know, we gave it to Dan Quinn, right, with the blow in the leads thing. Well, your boy, he's making it a habit now too, and that's something that becomes hard to shake. And that's two bad looks there, blowing big leads. I mean, they blew a 25-point lead with him running that offense in Atlanta. Now, point lead against the Chiefs in a Super Bowl that he blows, and now an early 10-point lead against the Chiefs that he blows, and then. You know, going conservative when you shouldn't, and then going aggressive, not having that balance right. I'm giving all of this dumbest of the week to Shanahanigans, your boy.
Mm. Well, not only do we not concur, but I'm actually going the opposite of you in my dumbest, because my dumbest is anyone criticizing Kyle Shanahan's decision to take the ball first in overtime. Not saying a debate or discussion can't be had about it. It's actually a really good topic for an intelligent discussion or discourse about strategy, about game theory in that situation.
Yeah.
But there's a corner of analysts that are all auditioning for First and Negro, trying to just slam the decision as the, oh, this is the dumbest thing you could ever possibly do. You give the ball second to Patrick Mahomes, which – If he gave the ball first to Patrick Mahomes, well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Why would you give Patrick Mahomes the ball first? They're just trying to be outraged to be outraged. Anyone slamming the decision as dumb and wrong to me is dumb and wrong, because it's something that you can discuss, but just automatically saying it's the wrong move to me is dumb. He just watched his defense give everything they had to keep Kansas City out of the end zone to end regulation. If he wanted to send them right back out because he wanted the ball second and wanted to know what his offense needed to do it, okay, that's understandable. But if he wanted to just give them a breather while helping the best team in yards per play in football while relying on them, relying on that offense, that's also understandable. How the hell is that the dead wrong move? I don't understand how people could just completely slam it as the wrong move. I don't get that.
I think that gets compounded by the fact of how the players didn't know the rules.
Well, that's another. It's not a whole lot of them that didn't know. I was kind of confused, too, because the way the referee tried to stammer and spit through it didn't really make much
right.
sense.
Right.
I forgot that it was both teams get it. I forgot.
I didn't realize until Nance started, because we were thinking about overtime, until Nance started talking about the Josh Allen rule. I'm like, oh, that this is the playoff thing now.
Yep,
you know,
I
they don't
forgot
do this
about
in
that.
The regular season. They only do this in the playoffs because of what happened to the Bills.
Yep,
because of the 13-second game.
Right.
I mean, when we talk about Josh Allen and his last play on the field, he threw the game-winning touchdown.
I don't even get mad at the players for not really knowing it, because this is the same league where the players didn't. Some of them don't know that overtime ends in a tie. So you know.
Oh, is that the Donovan McNabb? Situation there, so all right.
Can't slam him too bad.
We're both on opposite sides of stupidest, but we do. Your boy Shanahan does need an intervention.
I concur that there's been plenty of bottles of alcohol in his house that have been consumed this week. I definitely concur with that.
And I'll tell you why. In my surprise of the week, so apparently the problem was Steve Wilks. And
that's the whole problem, right?
Hey, what happened?
He's the quote unquote goat, but not in the good way that we need to get rid of. The guy whose defense was absolutely smothering, frustrating, and confusing Patrick Mahomes until their all-pro linebacker blows his Achilles out in a freak injury. But yeah, let's fire him. Let's get rid of that guy who was most of the season helming a top five defense, who had held Patrick Mahomes to 19 points in a Super Bowl. Yeah, let's just fire him. He's the problem. So part of that intervention that we need to give your boy, Shanahan, is, I was really surprised when I saw that come out this week. Steve Wilkes got fired. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's the problem.
So completely on the opposite side and disagree on dumbest. For surprise, 1,000,000% concur. Completely concur.
This isn't even a I concur. This is...
No, this is... How do you look at that guy and taking... For the one year that he ran your defense, the first year.
Yeah.
And decide that that's the problem. There's obviously a strategy and personality battle going on between Shanahan and Steve Wilkes. It came to a head. 2:48 left in overtime, you might remember, where KC had 2nd and 6, and right before the snap, Shanahan calls timeout. And you being at a party might not have thought too much of that, but me watching at home, I see Shanahan get caught on camera unleashing a string of expletives into his headset. So he clearly
he didn't like the look
with the defensive formation, and he's watching Pat Mahomes take the Chiefs down the field in a stop them and win it all situation, and decided he needs to be the DC and the OC at the same time now. I am the captain now. He decided he needs to take over everything and call timeout and call the defense and call the offense. As we know, he lost. That was the wrong decision. You can criticize Shanahan. I have no problem with that. And his first move 3 days later after that, hey, Steve Wilkes, get out. What? What the hell? It's all your fault. There had to be more building to the meltdown in the Super Bowl, but to see a coach get 1 year with a D and lead them to regular season rankings of number 8 overall, 3rd lowest points allowed, 3rd lowest touchdowns, 6.4 yards per pass attempt allowed, was 4th lowest in the league, top 10 in sacks, tied with Chicago for the most interceptions. Yeah, he sucks. He's got to go. Fuck out of
here. And your top safety, who got hurt midseason, is not there, and your all-pro linebacker is blown out his Achilles and is now missing for the rest of the game, and his replacement is getting torched.
All excuses. Your
Steve
fault.
Wilkes, it was
bad
all his
job.
Fault. Yeah.
All your
absolutely
fault.
Was a surprise, and then some for – so that's for both of us then.
Absolutely. 1,000,000%.
Wow.
I'm like, what?
It's easy. What? It's easy to be kumbaya when there's only one game, right?
Yeah. Well, we're kumbaya during a regular season with 16 games sometimes. So
sometimes. I'll tell you what. Letdown wasn't really a letdown for me. Letdown. Yeah. We had a young man who picked the worst possible moment to miss his first career extra point.
Oh.
And Jake Moody, who was 68 of his first 68 extra points, they call it a block. He kicked it right into the line.
Yeah.
That was barely even a block, because if the Niners' defensive line had jumped to block that, it was going to hit him in the head. It wasn't going to hit him in the hands. Absolutely awful kick in a spot where you need to get put up 4, and it only puts him up 3, and I'm watching him like, that's one of those we're going to remember later. And, you know, you said it might not have made a difference. If Mahomes needed 4, he would have gotten, you know, he would have gotten it. He would have figured
he
out
got
a
it, no matter what he needed.
He would have got it. But to me, that's got to be a huge letdown in your career and for your fan bases. That, you know, for somebody who'd been fairly automatic, we had just watched him and Harrison Butker hold my beer, watch this moment. Longest field goals ever in a Super Bowl, you know, back-to-back. And then Jake Moody just drills one on an extra point right into his, basically almost his line. It was such a low, bad kick. That was a big letdown. It was a big letdown spot.
I concur. And especially in the face of what you just talked about the kicker showing out and hitting the big record-setting field goals. Jake Moody, after all his struggles his rookie year, bombs it from 55 and scored the first points at the start of the second quarter, longest field goal in Super Bowl history. That was impressive. I didn't expect him to hit it at all. I had no confidence, so good for him that he got himself ready mentally and executed when he needed to, and the 49ers needed it. And then the Chiefs send Harrison Butker out third quarter and low line drive from 57. So the Super Bowl record was set by Moody and broken by Butker the very same night. So big time long distance boots. And then how do you blow an extra point? That was definitely a sinking feeling when I got that. It really let me down. Like, kid, you just bombed it from 55 and then you do that. Oh, come on, kid. But I definitely concur. They set you up for disappointment by hitting those huge field goals early before that. And then, just blow an extra point. Sure. Makes sense.
Yeah, in a game that was dominated by the kickers. I mean, Harrison Butker, 4-for-4. Moody was 3-for-3. But in a low-scoring defensive game, and you need that point, it makes a huge difference psychologically, knowing even at the end of that game for the Chiefs, like, hey, we didn't score that touchdown. They did not get overly aggressive on that final drive, knowing that, hey, the only thing that hurts us is a turnover, versus being down 4, where, like you said, they probably go and get it because they probably play a little bit more balls out and they just go get it. But still makes a huge difference not having that there. And so, we concur again. So time for some Joe.
Struggling.
If we're kumbaya on this one, man, I'm giving my Joe award is struggling to whoever was running the audio board at halftime, because I couldn't hear what Usher was singing.
Yeah.
It was like muffled and muted. I mean, I had no problem with the actual show itself because it was what you expect from a halftime show, right? You get the main artist and they come out and they do some of their stuff, and then some surprise guest shows up, and you get and it's the big spectacle of the moment, and you get. But God, whoever was running the mixing board for that was struggling or was inebriated or something was going on or both, because that was I'm not familiar with a lot of that music that was being sung. I don't know many of those songs. So I was more interested, like, okay, what's he saying?
And, I don't know what he's saying.
Yeah.
I didn't notice the audio being bad. I noticed some of the singing being off key, and I noticed him taking some
lines off.
Maybe
that's what it was. Maybe the singing was just bad.
I noticed him taking some lines off because he was blowed up and tired. He's sweating. He looked like
he was
mean.
That I noticed as well.
So
yeah, he was putting in some work, and he looked, like he was struggling himself at times during that.
Yeah, he was a little blowed up. I'm sitting there watching him hug all over Alicia Keys as they do their duet, and I'm like, he's getting all that sweat all over that beautiful dress of hers. That's just I didn't notice the audio, though.
Okay.
But, yeah, what I noticed, I guess I was hung up on he was trying to fit so many of his songs in. One of his songs, he literally performed the opening line of the song and stopped and moved on to another song. And I'm like, one line? Really?
Okay. Well,
wow. So they were trying to fit as much.
That's not even a medley, so.
No, that's like, everyone does it. Yeah, everyone does a medley of their song, but they do like at least the first, stanza of one of the songs.
Or the chorus.
Right. Just sing the hook or something. He did one line. He did the first line of Nice and Slow and then stopped and went to something else. And I'm like, dude, I think someone counted up. It was like 14 songs of at some point that he tried to fit in. Like, you don't have to fit every song you ever recorded in there.
I did not pick up on that.
Because he went through them so damn fast.
I would have thought that was like 3 songs.
Right.
See, that's
no.
what I know.
no, that is definitely not my struggling. My struggling was – You know who seemed to struggle the most Sunday? The world champion Kansas City Chiefs. Pat Mahomes wound up the MVP at the end. He was the favorited horse who found the spot on the rail and rallied to the front, passing the tired horses before that. But he was struggling before that. He wasn't anywhere near MVP level until the fourth quarter. Before that, he was kind of bad. He had the overthrow on third and long to start the second half for the Jair Brown INT. The rest of the Chiefs weren't helping. Isaiah Pacheco was bobbling and fumbling everywhere, getting stumped on third down.
Richie James tried to fumble every punt.
Chiefs had five punts and a fumble before the Marquez Valdes-Scantling touchdown. We were texting each other like, San Fran should be way up in this game. And that was part of it because the Chiefs were not playing well. And, again, the 49ers defensive coordinator, I guess, doesn't get any credit for that because he got fired 3 days later.
Yeah, it was a struggle. It was a struggle session. And you know, in the second half, it was Purdy who decided to start struggling because his third quarter was atrocious.
He has some really, really bad throws at some really bad times.
Yeah, some receivers that weren't helping him out and then a lot of balls that were just bouncing.
Mm-hmm. And that's too bad because he was he did not really seem to have the Super Bowl jitters in the first half. I thought he played very good in the first half. You know, he wasn't perfect, but I would have thought, you know, a kid like that from Mr. Irrelevant to the Super Bowl in 3 years or 2 years or whatever it is, I would have thought he'd have been, you know, a little more nervous. And you know, Project, if he ever gets to the Super Bowl, his first seven throws are going to be all 5 yards over everyone's head because he's going to be so jacked up and nervous.
Yeah.
And Purdy didn't play like that. He played pretty damn good.
Well, give that defense and that adjustments and Spags, give them some credit because they started dialing up the pressure on him. They also made a concerted effort to not let Christian McCaffrey beat them.
Right. And he was trying to beat them. But McCaffrey was going to win me that Super Bowl MVP if the Chiefs would have held on. Because
I don't know. I thought Juwan Jennings was going to win that Super Bowl MVP.
It would have been close.
Receiving and
throwing. Sure. No, it would have been close. But McCaffrey was the horse. 70 yards rushing and 70 yards receiving. Like, they were relying on him. There's no way they win that game.
And that's funny because you gave those stats, and I still thought he played, that they had him clamped down. That's how good he is. That you can go out there. He ended up at 80-80. He ended up with 160 total yards. And I thought that they actually managed him well. That's how good Christian McCaffrey is.
He could have had 120 rushing if he would have hit some more of those holes. So yeah, no, he played well and also could have been better. Got kind of stuffed a little bit.
Well,
all right,
it's time for Danielle.
Our last award of the season.
Game 72-71.
You know what I said that to? I said that to some least valuable players coming up huge, saving their hats. And I'm talking about that dog shit receiving core of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mecole Hardman and Justin Watson, who barely got a pass from me for least valuable player, and Marquez freaking Valdes-Scantling. The only two touchdowns of the game come from MVS and Mecole Hardman, you know, the throwing touchdowns anyway. Yeah, those were the two touchdowns for Patrick Mahomes. But those guys, what, Mecole Hardman, 57 yards, Justin Watson, 54, MVS, 20, you know, putting numbers on the board that you were not expecting coming up when those guys were coming up small. Even MVS, wide open on a touchdown, tried to drop it. But he didn't. He bobbled it, but he didn't drop it. But, you know, and Mecole Hardman with two of the biggest plays in the game, although he had the 52-yard bomb that he ends up coming down with, although Rishi Rice fumbles a couple plays later. But still, that kind of set the tone and tempo. They did that deep shot, and they succeeded. And then he comes up with the game-winning touchdown. Those guys? Yeah, that left me.
Right. Well,
game 72-71.
It's maybe like a 10 or 15% concur. It's not 100% concur. My what the fuck was the entire sequence in the second half that made it crystal clear that the Chiefs were going to win the game. Because I'm just, it wasn't an out loud excited what the fuck was that. It was like a slow head shaking, like,
uh-oh.
Man, what the fuck?
Was it the ball hitting the guy's foot?
Oh, my God. Playoff, well, it starts with playoff Pat just kind of deciding to, okay, I've sucked long enough. Let me turn it up here. Scrambling, powering,
yeah.
Third downs, design option keeper, fooling everybody. And is San Fran's able to stop Harbin on a third down crosser, and then Harrison Butker hits the record-breaking field goal. So that sort of started my what the fuck's going on here. And the next drive for the Niners, they run McCaffrey once. He gets stuffed, and that's it. Shanahan's like, okay, we got to go back to Brock Purdy. We got to have him drop back. So he throws two terrible passes because he's getting pressured. And so that was my other big criticism of Shanahan's. He definitely got away from using McCaffrey in the second half. He could have used him a lot more. Could have relied on him even more than he did. So they have to punt tonight. Then the Chiefs have to punt again. But then that punt, of course, what's this kid's name? Daryl Luter, not paying attention, and the punt hits him in the back of the foot. And Ray McLeod trying to desperately dive on the ticking time bomb on the live grenade and can't do it. He really didn't try to dive on it. He was trying to pick it up and run, and that was a big mistake. He should have just dove on the damn thing. And who knows if he actually dives on it and the Niners don't lose that possession, but they, of course, lose it. And very next play is the touchdown to Marquez Valdes-Scantling for 16 from 16 yard. And I'm just shaking my head like, man, what the fuck is this bullshit? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. The Niners, at that point, everybody watching knows the Niners are giving this game away to the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs did their part to take it, but the Niners gave that shit away. And I was just kind of like, oh, man, what the fuck is all this? That's all I could say.
Yeah, because up until that point, the Niners were completely in control still. They were about to get the ball back and still be up 10-6 and still have all the momentum. They just stopped and frustrated the Chiefs again. And isn't it just perfect, though, that not only does the ball hit the guy and they get the muff, they just throw the touchdown on the very next play.
The very next play. Oh, you gave us a chance, and we're going to capitalize immediately. All the terrible football that the Chiefs have been playing up to that point. And Mahomes like, all right. All right, if you want me to, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then throws that touchdown, and they have the lead. So then you're looking around, if you're the Niners, you're like, wait, no. We've been dominating these guys on both sides of the ball. And I blame Steve Wilkes.
All his fault. All his fault. Absolutely. Completely. We're in the after show, by the way. So that was
I saw that. We went there about halfway through your award. But we still got them all in, so people at least got to hear. They didn't get to hear your whole sequence of events, but not bad getting them all in with two phone calls.
It helps a lot when we concur on some of these awards.
Especially when we 1,000% concur on one.
that was the Super Duper Bowl. It was just crazy how we could all see it playing out exactly the way that it did, that the Niners are doing what they need to do. The Chiefs are not playing well. They don't look like they're in sync at all. Travis Kelce is trying to attack his coach and all that.
We did not give an award to, and I was not clutching my pearls about that like everybody else was on the socials and stuff. Understanding the context of what he was mad about, which was being pulled out on the play where Pacheco fumbled, and part of that was the guy who was in there for Kelce missed his block. I don't like the way he did it, but he clearly kind of stumbled into Andy Reid. And defending Travis Kelce is not in my playbook. But it's, even Andy Reid was like, don't worry. I'm fine. I can take it.
Reid knows who he is. Reid knows who Kelce is. He knows who he's dealing with.
Right. And he wants to be the star. And he's got the spotlight and his, billionaire girlfriend's upstairs watching. Hey, whatever. But, I get it. A guy wants to win. He didn't go up there and cold cock him or anything like that. It was, he's just telling him, You know, I don't know what was said. Maybe we'll probably never know, but.
You know, NFL Films has unbelievable access.
I know
access,
they have it.
So.
Kelsey even alluded to that. Like, I know it's on mic because those guys were all mic'd up or, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So they caught that. We know what was said, and I'm sure we'll get an America's Game cut of that or something someday.
Man, inside the NFL had some incredible access, some incredible things that they caught. Like Trent Williams is sitting there saying on that fourth down run that Mahomes had.
I think it was
the overtime one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trent Williams called it out and said, they're going to run Mahomes, man. You called it too, but Trent Williams is just sitting there. They're going to just run Mahomes. They're just going to sneak him. And then he runs it, and they go back to Trent Williams going, I said they were going to run it. How did they not know that?
Everybody knew where that play was going. Everybody knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they got that footage or whatever exactly teed off Kelsey, but I think we all kind of know what pissed him off like that. So, I didn't give an award to it either. I guess apparently I didn't think it was that big a deal either, but I thought it was a big deal when it happened, but just in the context of everything else that wound up happening in the game,
it became very small. Well, that was the overall part of the game where the Niners were dominating the Chiefs, and they did not know how to handle that adversity, and they just couldn't keep it going, you know?
Couldn't put them away.
All that prosperity that the Chiefs gave them, they couldn't capitalize on it, and sure enough, all it takes is the ball bounces off a guy's foot in a crazy play, and then boom. Touchdown pass to MVS, and you're losing now. And I give them credit for both teams coming through and having one hell of a final quarter. It was fun.
It was great. It was for football fans. It was great, just like we said it was going to be. And for strategists, we got a whole week of stuff to chew on and break down and figure out. And
that's been
interesting to watch a lot of the experts trying to break it down and figure out. I think most of the people agree that scapegoating Steve Wilkes for this was kind of stupid. I don't think anyone really agrees with that decision.
Yeah, I'm glad that I'm shocked that not only we didn't put it in stupid, we both just put it in our surprise because that really was that news article. Was like, what?
Right. I see that on the bottom line. I'm like, he did what? one of the top defenses in the league? What?
No, so that usually, like you said, boils down to it's more of like it's a personality thing or a, you know, direction of the team, or you're being scapegoated.
Yeah, strategies, that probably wasn't their first strategical disagreement of the season. If it was, and Shanahan fired him over that'd be unbelievably thin-skinned. I hope he's not that.
I don't think Steve Wilkes stays unemployed for a particular long
time. Oh, hell no. He better not, no. Anybody should be very glad to have him. Although I said that anyone should be glad to hire Bill Belichick, too, and that didn't happen. So what do I know? I don't know.
Well, you know, he'll go do TV for a year, right?
Yeah, he's kind of, you know, up there, so I don't know if he'd... You know, remember, we all thought Bill Cowher would do TV for a few years and then get back in, and he's like, "Nah, I don't need to. I'm good here. I'll just stay here forever."
Did you catch the halftime show where not the actual usher part, but the booth part? You know, where they were talking to all the guys at the table, and Bill Cowher didn't even get a word in edgewise. Bill Cowher's just sitting there with his microphone, and all these other guys just keep talking over each other, and Bill Cowher's just sitting there and sitting there and sitting there, and I don't know if he even said a word the whole halftime. And every time you thought they were going to throw it to him, you know?
Somebody else jumped in. No, I missed that. I was getting some very
bad that. That's JB, right? Is that's James Brown,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, JB at the end goes, "Well, like Coach said, something, something." And that was like he alluded to something that Bill Cowher said, and that was pretty much the only thing. No, it was all those other guys just, you know, sucking all the air out of the room.
I think that's their show every week is Coach Gower says something to start the segment, and then the other guys spend the next 3 minutes filling it all up. So
yeah.
I don't think that's unusual, though,
because it kept looking like they were going to be like, okay, when are they going to cut this back to Cower? When's he going to get to say something? You know, they're all, like, conversing with each other. They're all taking their turns, but then taking more turns, where usually you see a panel where it's that many guys and everybody kind of gets their one thing to say. And
yeah.
Obviously it's all scripted out because nobody ever says the same, you know.
They're talking points beforehand, absolutely.
Correct. Yeah, so I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say, you know, so everybody gets to be a genius, you know.
I have no problem with that, because if you don't, then you turn into the Fox pregame show, which is a bunch of guys just talking over each other and kind of saying the same thing, so.
I'm not a fan. All of those shows have become so bloated now, where they just keep expanding the roster, you know, and that table just keeps getting bigger and bigger. It's like, you don't need seven dudes.
No. Well, now you can split it off. You can have a pre-game show and have a separate show
yeah.
with different people.
Right, and then you can send half your crew to Nickelodeon.
So your kids didn't partake your kids weren't with you, of course, at the football
yes,
party.
Yes, they were.
They were? Oh, okay.
The kids were, that's the one thing that we have allowed the last several years is the kids is to stay up for the Super Bowl. We didn't know it was going to be overtime.
Yeah.
So they stayed up for the game. They watched the game. You know, Trin was sitting right next to me watching most of the game. And then my son, who had been hanging out in another room doing some stuff on his own, showed back up towards the end of the game. And they actually watched the Super Bowl. My daughter was rooting for the Niners. She wanted Taylor Swift's boyfriend to win the Super Bowl.
Gee, I wonder where she could have gotten poisoned like that.
This was apparently all of her friends were all very anti-Taylor Swift.
Really?
They do not like Taylor Swift. This is that, you know, she's in sixth grade, so.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's because.
She's like the big pop star, so that's the age where you're supposed to love the big
You're
pop
supposed
stars.
To rebel against those things.
You are? Oh, okay.
I guess.
So they
were anti-Taylor Swift.
That she was the anti-hero. Got it.
Correct.
Huh, that's interesting. Maybe the kids will take their tablets or something and watch the Nickelodeon version of the Super Bowl next year when they get a wind of that.
Yeah, I was telling my buddy, I said, why don't you put on the Nickelodeon broadcast? And his his brother was there. The guy's like, no, that's a joke, right? That doesn't really happen. I'm like, no, it's real.
Well, it's a thing.
They actually have SpongeBob and Patrick and. commentating on the game. I said it could actually be quite funny. So I started talking about the whole Russell Wilson thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, you know, and they do these dumb graphics in the end zone. I had no interest in actually watching it.
Right.
But I guess for a family with little kids, if you want to get them to watch the Super Bowl, I don't know what their ratings were or what they pulled. It couldn't have been, I'm sure it was a non-zero number.
Yeah, they got their viewers, I'm sure. You know, it wasn't 123 million, but yeah.
Well, wow, what a season.
Sounds like you're ready to call it.
Well, it's, you know, been a long day. I told you before the show started. My day started with snow shoveling at 6 o'clock this morning. So that was the beginning of my day, and then work all day, and then I had all my awards. I did all my awards today. While I was at work, I just kind of wrote them all on a little note paper, and then I came home and I expanded on them. And that was a good show. It was a good season. It was tight. I mean, we really kept it interesting and close, especially once I dug myself out of the grave.
That was quite the dig. That's might get lost in history a little bit, but that was quite the accomplishment to come back from 20 under 500 to get all the way back to the 500 and ultimately win the season. That's quite the accomplishment out of you.
I I will take it. If I'm gonna, if you're gonna break a streak, that's how you do it.
Yeah, man, I guess so.
Because my October was so bad. Now again, that's self-inflicted. You know, a couple of weeks on vacation. I had was 2 weeks in Florida, 2 Sundays in Florida, and then bracketed by 2 Sundays helping my mom move. And I was just not, you know, I was paying attention as much as you can when you're actually not able to watch the games. So it's like a lot of phone updates and highlights. But, you know, I started off okay. I actually had the lead on you up until that point, that October. So I started off the season strong. And then, yeah, it was just chip away, chip away, chip away. So I don't know what the number was, but I felt like I had the honors for, I don't know, 11 out of the last 12 weeks or something. I think you had it once toward it down the stretch.
You're probably about right there.
Because it was, if I wasn't beating you, we were pushing a lot of weeks.
Let's see, how many weeks did I win after the awesome week 6 in which I went 9-6 and you went 3-12?
Was that the one that got me to 20 games under?
No, the next week I went 8-5 and you went 3-10. That's what got you
back to back threes.
Yeah, it was quite the tumble.
Those are the week. That was the moment when I'm like, why am I still doing this?
you come back with 8 wins the next week and you're feeling a lot better about yourself, but you still didn't beat me because I had 11. So
wow.
I'm really feeling good. So then after that, we were even week 9. You got 2 games on me week 10. You got 1 game on me week 11. You got, I beat you 1 game for week 12. So there's the 1 week out of those that I beat you week 12.
There it was.
There's the 1. Week 13, you come back and get 2 on me. Week 14, even. Week 15, even. Week 16, even. Week 17, you go 10-6 to my 7-9. So that's when it really starts to dawn on me, oh, you're actually rallying all the way back. And at that point, you're 3 games behind me. And I'm like, where'd that come from? How'd that happen?
Yeah. And then you had this in the bag.
And then the last week, week 18, we were even. We both went 10-6. So,
wow.
Yeah, 1 week out of the last 8 where I actually beat you.
And you got me wild card weekend by 1 game.
That's right.
And then I got you division round by a game.
That's where the points swing happened because those games were worth 3
that
points
was when, That was when the lead flipped.
That's right.
Was in the I am Mr. Division Round. I went 3-1.
You are. You sure are.
And that was it. And then Jameson Williams. And then Super Bowl.
Jameson Williams.
You can thank him. I'll send you a Jameson Williams jersey or something.
I'll be sure to film it as I burn it in a garbage can.
So I'm facing a dilemma for this year for our fantasy baseball team. My son is angling really hard to come to the draft with us.
Well, you're contemplating it, obviously.
I am. I mean, well, he wants to go on a trip with Dad, you know. He wants to go and, like, you know, it's like, you know, I told him, Uncle Andre's going to be there. Like, yeah. So he really wants to go. And I'm like, Grant, it's really boring for
it's
not
really
for me,
boring.
But for you, you know, you're 9. But he really wants to do it. So, yes, I'm contemplating. I mean, I could always just be like, hey, here, kid, bring your handheld, play some video games, sit behind us or something, you know. Or I could just put him to work. You know, turn him into the designated out caller.
I can't imagine him staying awake long enough to fulfill those duties, like after the first hour or two.
Well, we're already, if our roster goes the way it looks like it's going to go, we're going to be full up at, I'm not kidding, catcher, DH, and first.
Yeah.
Just based off of most likely keepers, you know?
Right.
So we will end up having both our catchers. We'll have a DH. We'll have two first base. We'll have a lot of positions. You know, we'll have a lot of ones, Ds, and Cs that come through that we can't even bid on. So, you know, I give them a job. Out.
I completely understand your temptation to give in and let him make the trip. But as you really know, when you really think about it, there's no 9-year-old should be in that room. It's just
a long day. It is a long day.
It's just not for them at all.
I'm not even worried about language because it's not really a
those guys don't really cuss. No
group. Yeah, it's very PC in the room, so it's not like I'm even worried about there being content. It's just the rush of everything, and you know we're so into the paperwork and all that stuff. You know, I feel like you'd kind of get lost in the shuffle.
Right. Yeah, I can see him 20 minutes in just start kicking the back of our chairs and. Getting up and running into the break room and getting something to drink and coming back and just going in and out. Yeah, it's just not for a kid. Just
no, I know. I feel bad too because he really wants to go. I'm like, you know, he's getting close, right? He's getting close. Mm-hmm. I'm just worried about boy, how many more years is this thing going to hang on? Because we just got teams are dropping like flies and 10 now, and it just feels like it's just kind of like, you know, it's felt like that a few times. We're like, oh, how long can this keep going? And then it always finds new life, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't get too worried until if it gets to the 7 teams that's in my bowling league right now, then it's time to worry.
I'll worry if we're at 10 and we cannot get an 11th or a 12th, and then somebody else quits or somebody passes on because it's not the youngest group.
Yeah.
That we're a part of, and then now it starts to get down to 9. Yeah, I don't know how long it survives if we're down to 9. Somebody's going to come calling you to take over a team or something.
I'm sure they would love for me to take over a team, and I'm not trying to do all of that research and paperwork. That's a lot. Plus, I'm happy to announce that I'm adding on to my live scouting duties. They hired me to do the college basketball that was rumored to be starting this season. They're getting a late start on it, but that's good because they get to get the bugs out this year. And then by the time next year starts, hopefully,
it'll be
nice.
Okay, so that's
smooth.
Something that won't start for you until the next college basketball season.
Well, they're starting it this season. They're gonna start sending us out to games like next week.
Isn't college basketball over? And
just about over. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, basically,
so for who
they,
is this for the Tigers or?
Yeah, Tigers games.
Okay.
Well, the way it worked out
they're actually pretty good this year.
Yeah, they're very inconsistent. They can lose any game as well as win.
That's Memphis Tigers basketball for you.
Pretty much. But the way it worked out was it's fortuitous that this initial campaign, they're going to only use the cities that happen to be hosting games in the in March Madness. And Memphis happens to be hosting first-round games in March Madness. And that's the only reason that Memphis is available to do any games.
Now, they can't do those at the Pyramid because that is a Dick's Sporting Goods.
The Pyramid is no longer a sporting venue. That is absolutely a Dick's Sporting Goods, with a bowling alley and a hotel and everything else.
I'd be curious just to go in there to see what that's turned into, because to me that was always the Great American Pyramid or whatever
something
they called
like
it
that.
Back when it was started, and that was always where the Tigers played.
It was. Whatever
so
it's called, my
now?
Wife. Oh, where the Grizzlies are at FedEx Forum.
Oh, okay. So they actually play at a real arena.
Yes.
Okay.
But whatever the pyramid was called, my wife just had a bunch of cuss words for it because going up to the top of that pyramid, there were no elevators. Like, if you got the worst seat in the house, you had to climb all those stairs.
I just remember being on the interstate going around a sharp curve right there, and if you miss the curve, you're in the pyramid.
That still exists. They haven't really fixed that too much. Yeah, that's not fun going over that overpass.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's I'm very curious to go in there, and I want to spend the night at one of the, at the hotel that's up in there. But it's a ridiculous overcharge, it's like $300 a night or something.
Wow.
Stupid like that.
I didn't know that they so they had because that was it doesn't look like a big building, but it is.
It is. It's a huge building. It's a, it used to be a sporting arena.
It was a
with
sports
14,000
arena.
Seats or whatever.
Yeah, and then so yeah, I remember we're down there and we're driving through downtown, me and my wife. And one of the few times we actually didn't just bypass Memphis, we actually went through. And I was like, Dick's Sporting Goods?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Memphis, baby. What can I say? but like I said, they tricked it out. It looks like a very interesting time inside there. Like I said, they got a bowling alley. I think it's only four
yeah.
lanes, but they got a bowling alley. They got all sorts of activities and stuff in there. They got a hotel. So yeah, it's a time. It's a whole time in there. It's not just going in there to shop Dick's Sporting Goods. It's a whole experience. Just a little out of my price range, but that's it's not out of the realm of possibility. It might be something you and your family would enjoy, actually.
Yeah, maybe. So you know, we have Mall of America up here over in the
mm-hmm.
Twin Cities, and they've added two hotels onto that.
Right.
And we've always been like, well, wouldn't it be, because we go there sometimes, like, wouldn't it be kind of cool to just go and stay
yeah.
at the hotel in the mall? Because then we don't have to drive anywhere. It's right there. If you want to shop, you just take it back to your room. You know?
That's right.
But they're very expensive.
yeah.
So
no,
that's part of it, too.
They know what they're doing. Southland Casino with the dog track, they just built a hotel.
Okay.
And it's like $250, $300 a night. So they all know what they're doing.
Wow.
It's good business if you want to pay that kind of money. I haven't decided to do it yet, but, you know, like I said, not out of the realm of possibility.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, let's put a cap on this. Good season over. Unless you got
our next just our next show's the thumbnail sketch of what we should be doing coming up in March.
Oscars
the weekend of the 10th.
Yep. And let me see here. I'm at something on Saturday the 9th, but I'll be home in the evening. So
okay.
I am available any of those days pretty much to do our Oscars show. And then March Madness is a few days after that.
March Madness, is that the next week or the week after that? I thought it was the week after. Yeah, let me...
Well, that's all right then.
Right. It won't be shows 2 days apart or 3 days apart.
Okay, yeah, it won't be. We're doing an Oscar show on Saturday, and then we're back on Tuesday for the March Madness show.
No, March Madness starts on the 19th, so we'll be doing that show the week after the Oscars.
Okay. And then baseball preview the week after that.
That's right. And then WrestleMania is the first Saturday in April, so the week after that. So we're lined
okay.
up in sequence, basically.
Pretty
nice.
So we're on a little, yeah, so this is usually, right now, we're in about a four-week break
mm-hmm.
that we'll start right now, unless something comes up. We always reserve that right, but... I would expect our next show to be Oscars preview.
That's looks like a nice 4 week in a row schedule that we don't have to, you know, squeeze shows in a day later or 2 days later or something like that. Actually looks like it's going to go in a nice sequence for us. So that's really good.
Yeah. And then we get it. Yeah. And then, you know, once we get past Chicago and then WrestleMania, then the draft comes up and that's usually, I think that's end of April.
Mm-hmm.
So the off season really does kind of set itself up pretty nice, and then we go through those, like we get into the dog days of baseball, where we'll just all of a sudden one of us will be like, let's do a show,
right?
Yeah.
If you're following us, you kind of know how it works by now. But I just wanted to get the dates out there, the general thumbnail of what our schedule is going to be looking
yeah.
like coming up next month.
Yeah. So basically, it's 4 weeks off, and then. 4 weeks on.
That's what it looks like.
All right. I'll be there.
All right. Grudgingly, congratulations once again for winning the season.
Yeah, you know, I know it's an unfamiliar spot for you.
Yeah. So I got to regroup and go back to the drawing board and not put myself in a position where you can take Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Because if they three-peat next year, I would not be surprised. I'll just say
that. Or put yourself in a position to have to trust your boy Shanahan.
Man,
I was on Atlanta, and I was on the Niners the first go-round, right? I was on those.
You were able to switch horses this time.
Won't get fooled again.
All right, W. All right. With that, I think we're finally done here. Unless you have anything else.
No, I'm ready. I'm ready for bed.
Yeah. He is Jay. I am Dre. This has been the Super Duper Bowl 58 recap. Where the Chiefs, once again, for the second time in 4 years, had the 49ers right where they want them because they let the Niners get a lead and said, okay, that's fine. Well, now we're going to catch up and pass you and win the game. So, familiar spot for the 49ers. Hopefully they can figure out how to remedy that if they have a third meeting in the future. Again, we will see you for our next show in about a month, around the 10th, for the Oscars preview show. Dave, the movie expert, has been texting me for 2 months now, telling me about the movies that he's been watching and getting ready for. He's mega ready this time. He's really getting ready for Oscar season.
He takes this serious. I mean, he's a film buff to begin with.
Yeah, that's why I got him on.
But he really, I appreciate the seriousness, because I don't think without Dave the movie expert that we would even bother doing an Oscar show.
No, I wouldn't. That's his spot. Nobody loves movies more than Dave. I don't know anyone who loves movies more than him. So that's why we got that spot for him, and that's why we got the Oscar show. So certainly look forward to that. And the little bit of feedback that I ever get about the show, hasn't been that much over the years, but I do have friends who say they do love the movie show. They do love Dave, the movie expert. So
all right.
Should be fun. Everybody, enjoy your off season. Congratulations once again to the Kansas City Chiefs. And yes, put Andy Reid and Kelce and Mahomes in the damn Hall of Fame right now, because I don't know what else you're waiting for.
Yeah.
We will see you again in March for the Oscars preview. Talk to you then.